Welcome to Bed Crime Stories Podcast. Hi, friends. How are you today? My name is T. My job is spilling the tea on all things true crime. So if you're interested in true crime, I would highly suggest you hit that subscribe button because I'm here for you almost every day. But enough of my jibber jabber, let me get started. And by the way, if you like the video, do me a favor, smash the like button. It's a free way you can help. Now let's dig in. The man accused of doing a newly turned teenager, Madeline Soto, and then dumping her in a wooded area 22 miles from home, Stephen Stearns, has now been charged in connection to her death. Stearns lived with Madeline and her mother, Jen Soto, in a condo in Kissimmee, Florida. The police have evidence that Stearns began essaying Maddie when she was only 8 years old, and that behavior continued until the time of her death. Experts say that kids who are essayed tend to show signs of it. The child may suddenly stop doing well in school. He or she may suddenly begin to have night terrors and nightmares. The child may suddenly change his or her eating habits. The child may display inappropriate behavior with other kids. We heard that missing Tennessee teen Sebastian Rogers was essayed and that post his traumatic experience, he, on at least one occasion, allegedly showed other kids his private parts and asked to see theirs. His father, Seth Rogers, mentioned this incident, so it would appear that Sebastian was likely very affected by the essay. It's hard to believe that Madeline Soto didn't display any changes in behavior or mood as a result of the things that Stearns was doing to her for at least 5 years. Many people do not believe that Maddie's mother, Jen Soto, could have been unaware of all of this. Maybe Stearns was meticulous, however, in making sure that Maddie didn't say or do anything to reveal her trauma to her mother. The only people who would likely know at this point are Stephen Stearns and Jen Soto, and they're not talking. Stearns is in jail, and Jen Soto is apparently home in Kissimmee, but not talking, probably on the advice of her lawyer. When you factor in Jen Soto's obviously false statements to reporters after Madeline went missing, Jen begins to look like a co-conspirator with Stearns. Allegedly, she hasn't been charged with anything. Jen's statements seem designed to protect Stephen Stearns and make him appear innocent. In one interview, Jen said she spoke to Maddie on the evening of Sunday, February 25th, after the party celebrating Maddie's 13th birthday. Jen said that Maddie was happy with all the gifts she'd received and that she went straight to bed without using her cell phone or being active on social media.
Well, Monday morning, we took her to school. We dropped her off close to school, across the street from a church, which is it's right next to the school. She crossed the street and walked to school, what we thought walked to school. My boyfriend who drove her to school drove away at that point. It was seen on video footage that she hung out in the parking lot of the church for a few minutes and then got up and walked towards the school. But she never made it that was around 9 a.m. when she got up. She never made it to school after that. It's right next to the school. I don't know why she didn't make it. I don't know if something happened on her walk along the way or if she got taken, but she never made it.
And that was the last anyone seen of her or heard from her?
Yes. I went to pick her up after school. And she wasn't there. So I started driving around, maybe thinking she took a walk. Maybe she decided to walk to my mom's office, which is pretty close to the school as well. Drove around and I didn't see anything. I drove back to the school. The school was closed. I emailed one of her teachers. They confirmed that she was absent all day. At that point is when I called 911 because I realized something was truly wrong.
Have you heard from, like, any of her friends? Has she been active on any social media?
She hasn't been active on social media, none of her chats, none of her games. We did contact all her friends. None of them had seen her Monday or heard from her. Yeah, there's no update.
And I have to ask this, and I know I hate doing it, but is she the type that would run away? Has this happened in the past or anything? Has she ever threatened to run away?
Never. She's never, ever mentioned anything like this before, and she's not the type to want to do this. She did accidentally leave her phone on Monday, which is kind of normal for her. She's got ADHD and very forgetful. So she left her phone at home, so there's no way to trace her. They tried tracing her school laptop, but that's off, so it's not pinging to anything.
Jen, what is your fear? I know you mentioned she's on games and stuff. Do you think she could have, like, met somebody and tried to meet up with them?
She's open to us. She's open with us about, you know, if she's got a crush with anyone. And she told us she had a crush on someone at school. And I looked at their messages. Nothing was weird. I looked at all of her messages, all of her deleted messages. Nothing seemed weird. It didn't seem like she was talking to anyone. So I don't feel like that's the case. I feel like she may have been taken, because this is not like her at all to just disappear and not tell us, not let us know where she's going or who she's with. Yeah.
What are you getting from law enforcement? Are they actively searching for her? I mean, what happens now? I mean, especially that she doesn't have her phone with her.
So as far as I know, they're conducting a search around the school, behind the school. There's a shingle creek. There's a wooded path area that you could walk. It's a hiking path. They are going back there with their canine dogs. They've taken a piece of her clothing to see if they can trace her scent. They're also taking their own vehicles. I'm not sure what type of vehicles, but they're going into the woods to search for her. But I don't feel like that's going to find anything right now. We've had people all day on that trail sending us photos to see if anything there looks familiar and like her personal belongings, and nothing is hers. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure where to go from here. I'm just contacting the news to get the word out, to get some help, because I'm desperate. I'm a wreck right now.
So you think that she's been taken against her will?
I do think so, yes.
As a mom, you know, what's your mother's intuition telling you right now?
I'm trying to hope for the best, but I'm scared for her. I want her to be okay. I want her to be safe. I don't want her to come back harmed. I just want her back. Whatever that means, I just want her back.
Are you getting any updates from law enforcement? I mean, yes, they're searching that small area, but have they gotten any hits on any scent or anything like that?
They haven't let me know anything. They haven't updated me since I spoke to them this morning. I've contacted them to get some information or to give them some leads, but I've heard nothing back.
And Jen, there's no way that she, just being, you know, a teenager, was like, maybe had a fight with you or an argument with you and was like, you know what, I'm going to go hang out at so-and-so's house and teach her a lesson. You know, could that be a scenario?
I don't believe so. We actually haven't gotten into a fight in like a few weeks, or arguments or anything like that. If anything, on Sunday, she celebrated her 13th birthday with my entire family, and she had the best day. She was so happy. She showed us all her gifts. She's just a happy girl, and she showed it on Sunday night when she went to bed. She was so happy. So, you know, she had the best day. There was no moment in that evening from when she got home from the party that she had her phone or had the laptop. She went straight to getting ready and went to bed. So I know she didn't have any conversations with anyone. She didn't make plans with anyone. I didn't see any of that.
Jen Soto also told the police that she saw Madeline getting dressed at 8 a.m. on Monday, February 26. However, we know from what the police have said that Stefan Stearns was captured on surveillance camera footage dumping Maddie's backpack and school laptop into a dumpster at their condo complex at 7:35 a.m. on Monday morning. The cops also said that at 8:19 a.m., cameras captured a deceased Madeline in Stefan Stearns' vehicle in the condo complex parking lot. And a few days ago, investigative reporter Shannon Butler was on Court TV, and she said that several sources have told her that the police believe Madeline was done in on Sunday, February 25th, after her birthday party. Clearly, if all of this is true, then Jen Soto has some splainin' to do. I suspect Jen has now lawyered up, and she's probably been told to keep her mouth shut. A lot of us in the true crime community are wondering if Jen will be charged in connection to her daughter's death. Now, one of the most important pieces of evidence that could sink Jen Soto is Madeline's time of death. Listen to what Philip Dubay, the deputy public defender of LA County, said on Court TV recently.
I have a feeling that mom has lawyered up and counsel has told her to shut up and not say a word to anybody, let alone the police and the media. I have a feeling that the coroner has enlisted the help of a forensic entomologist. What's going to really matter in this case is the exact date and time of death. A forensic entomologist can pretty much pinpoint almost down to the hour when that child died based on insect activity found on her remains in the woods where her body was recovered. They'll be able to tell almost down to the hour, and that is significant because remember what mom said. She said she saw Madeline getting ready that morning and that Stefan picked her up and, you know, that whole thing. If they can show based on the forensics and based on the insect life on that child that she was already deceased, then I have a feeling mom is going to be in a lot of trouble. She will no longer just be a lead, but she may be even beyond a person of interest and possibly a suspect. I'm with Declan. I cannot believe that mom did not see behavioral changes in a child of that age to suggest that, you know, everything was just fine in the house.
Did you hear Dubay say that a forensic entomologist will likely have been brought in to look at whatever insect life was found on Madeline? Forensic entomologists study insects associated with, well, dead bodies in criminal investigations in an effort to determine how much time has elapsed since death. This allows them to pinpoint the time of death. Gross, I know. I know for a fact also that I could not do that type of work. Can you imagine? Insect evidence may also show if a body has been moved to a second site after death, or if the body has been disturbed at any point, either by the perpetrator or animals. Most cases that involve a forensic entomologist are 72 hours or more old. According to what I read, after 3 days, insect evidence is often the most accurate, and sometimes it's the only method of determining how much time has elapsed since a person took their last breath. The document I read said this: certain species of insects are often the first witnesses to a crime, and this is because they usually arrive within 24 hours of death if the season is suitable. This would be like in spring, summer, or fall. In winter, not so much. In general, there are two methods for this. The first method is used if a body has been deceased for between a month up to a year or more. The second method is used when death occurred less than a month prior to discovery. So in Madeline Soto's case, the second method would have been used. And it's best for the forensic entomologist to be called out to wherever the body was found, as opposed to coming into the picture after the body has been removed from the site. The second method uses, and this is gross, people, maggot age and development, which can give a date of death accurate to a day or less. Maggots are larvae, or immature stages of two-winged flies. The first insects to show up on a dead body are what's called blowflies. They arrive very soon after death, and they lay their eggs on the body. And this is gross, okay? Warning again. Usually on a wound if one is present. And if there aren't any wounds, they look for natural orifices. Don't go there. Just don't go there. Basically, to insects, a dead body is like a giant smorgasbord of protein to feed on and then lay eggs on. Insect eggs are laid in batches, by the way, on the body, and then they hatch into larvae. The larva then feeds on the body, and it molts into a second larva. And then the same thing happens again and turns into a third larva. And I'm going to spare you all the other gross details. Basically, all the developmental stages of the larva take a known set amount of time. The forensic entomologist will analyze the oldest stage of insect on the body and the temperature of the region in which the person was discovered. This leads to a day or a range of days in which the first insects laid eggs on the body. This in turn leads to a day. Daylight come and me wanna go home. Just had to throw that in there. I'm getting punchy again. Or a range of days during which death occurred. For example, if the oldest insects are 7 days old, then the body has been dead for at least 7 days. In Madeline's case, the authorities say that they know a deceased Maddie was observed in Stefan Stern's vehicle sometime after 8 a.m. on Monday, February 26. I want to know how the heck they spotted Madeline deceased in the car. Honestly, it makes me think that he had her upright, wearing a seatbelt. What a freak this guy is. And we know Madeline attended her birthday party the day before. If what the investigator reporter said on Court TV is true, that the authorities believe Madeline was done in at some point Sunday night, meaning prior to midnight on Sunday, then there are only a certain number of hours in which Maddie could have died. Apparently, flies and maggots and other insects can locate a dead body within minutes of death. You guys are probably like, oy vey, here she goes again with the insects. They have such a keen sense of smell that they can detect traces of decomposition odor in air currents. Thank God they're not attracted to stinky feet soon after a person expires. And if they smell a body, regardless of whether the body is outside in nature or inside a house, they can find it. And they will look and look and look until they get to that house, and then they will follow the scent, and they will find the place where the scent is the strongest, and then they will find a crack, a small hole, whatever they have to get in. But there are also other experts who will assist in narrowing down the time of death. A forensic pathologist will evaluate the person's autopsy report to understand the body's state of rigor mortis at the time of the medical examination. After a person dies, their muscles begin to stiffen and contract. This process, per the experts, can begin as soon as 15 minutes after death. Typically, a body is in full rigor mortis 15 hours after death. The body's state of decomposition will also be examined and factored into the equation. Seeing when a person ate their last meal can be determined by observing how far the meal's content traveled through the digestive system. Even our eyes change immediately after death. The pupils begin to dilate and no longer respond to sunlight. And as more time passes, the eyes begin to contract and the fluid in them begins to dry up. Despite all these things, apparently the results of these examinations are still not completely reliable or accurate. Experts also look to see when someone had their last phone call, last text message, the last time their phone pinged, etc. And then, hopefully, with all of this info gathered and sifted through, they can get closer to the precise time of death. All of this to say, Jen Soto may find herself facing charges at some point based on what the investigators discover about the time of death. The investigative reporter, Shannon Butler, also said that there were other people at Madeline's home on Sunday night, other than Jen, Stephen Stearns, and Madeline. And I heard one of Stephen Stearns' friends say on the Bray Hughes show that it wasn't just Jen and Stephen and Maddie living in the condo. Other family members lived there as well. This makes it all the more confusing. How did all these people miss the signs of the SA? And was Maddie done in the home or elsewhere? Did Stern somehow sneak her out of the house Sunday night without anyone noticing? Is that why he left the condo complex but then came back with a visibly deceased Maddie in his car? Did he need to pick up her laptop and backpack in order to get rid of them so that people in the condo would believe that he really dropped her off near her middle school? There are still so many questions. Let me know what you think about all of this in the comments, and I'll see you next time on Bed Crime Stories.